You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Morning to you. Mike McNamara for a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio. Right here on your home for it. The All Warrior Radio Network. Getting ready to go to North Carolina next week to do post-traumatic winning for the first time since the end of February. So, exciting stuff. Yep. And then July, I'll be up in Montana for a bit doing it with the Bar X project. So looking forward to that. Never been, I haven't ever spent a whole lot of time in Montana. I've driven through it. It's a gigantic state. When I had the occasion to drive between where I lived in North Dakota and California, a third of the drive is in Montana, for God's sake. Yeah, you get to the edge of North Dakota, you get into Montana, and then you drive all the way across Montana, and then you drive down. Montana's western edge has a kind of a southern kick to it, and you drive into Idaho. If maybe you might clip Wyoming a little bit, but not for very long. So never been up there. And looking forward to it. The program, if you haven't heard the interview I did with James Moran, is kind of unique in that they do a program for veterans, but you go with your battle buddies, which makes it really unique because most of the time veterans programs, you know, they're normally run in a geographic area or whatnot. And so he says, yeah, you should see the scene at the airport. I mean, a lot of these guys haven't seen each other since, you know, they redeployed to the United States. Some of them were wounded and haven't seen their friends since, you know, the day they were wounded. And the medevac, when it lifted off, was the last time they saw their friends. So he said it's pretty cool. So hopefully what will happen is, you know, the ideas and that are embodied, all the experience that's embodied in post-traumatic winning will give these guys and girls tools to, will give them tools to, when they leave, to continue transforming their life. And so, so looking forward to that. And I think, and then in September, in August, I go to Hawaii. Yeah. For the first time in my life. And so as life gets a little bit back to normal, as the nation struggles to figure out how to do this coronavirus thing without shutting itself down. The president unveiled a program relative to veteran suicide. The vice president's wife is in charge of it. So what's the problem? What are the demographics behind veteran suicide? And I think it's important to start from there. Statistics that you'll find on the internet, if you just do a little, if you do a little research. An analysis done in 2013 found a suicide rate among veterans of about 30 per 100,000 per year, compared to the civilian rate of 14. More so, veteran suicide. Now, veteran, didn't say combat veteran, it said veteran suicide. More than twice the number of civilians. Why? That's my question. Why? So on one hand, you're part of this 1% that serves our country, you know, unique group of people, and you're twice, more than twice as likely to take your own life. And again, veterans, not combat veterans, okay? All veterans. Okay. Now, I go over these numbers because when we look at the president's plan, we'll compare these numbers to see if, you know, we're going to answer the mail on this. And I have to tell you, this is just a personal observation that I'll throw out. What I see in terms of damage when I talk to people, there's normally something else in their life other than combat that fucks them up. It's not just the things that they saw. And there's normally other things. And, you know, there's some good examples relative to the program here. And, you know, on one extreme, you have somebody like Daryl Horn, who's a Christian, who's married, and he's a Vietnam guy, right? So married Vietnam, and you don't hear that very often, but unless they're older guys, officers and staff NCOs and stuff like that when they went. But Daryl's a young guy. He comes home to a wife who loves him. And two daughters, and as I said, and a family that loves him, extended family, and he goes about his life, and he lived a great life, and he's written a book, right? Daryl Horn, D-E-R-L-H-O-R-N, he's a member of Bravo Company 19. So. That he's on one end of the spectrum. And then you have people that come from, you know, very difficult upbringings. So there's already infrastructure damage. And then you load all that stress on it, and then they come home. And you're wondering what the problem is. Well, the problem isn't just Vietnam or wherever the hell else you went. So, anyway, that's just my personal observation. When you sit down to talk to people and they're willing to be honest with you about what their problems are, you're going to see that there's something more there. In fact, I'll relate it to a current event. If you go to the New York Post this morning, you will find, and let me find it here. I read it a little bit ago. You'll find an article about the young man, Mr. Brooks, that was killed in Atlanta. He had been in prison. And he did an interview for somebody that CNN got a hold of. And the interview evidently is about 40 minutes long. I haven't seen it. I've just read some of the experts of it. And in the quotes, I'll read you some of the quotes. I feel like, and evidently, he says, you know, in the interview, he reflects on a mistake that landed him behind bars. Tells the interviewer that you get treated like an animal. I feel like some of the system could, you know, just look at us as individuals. We do have lives, you know, was just a mistake we made, you know, and, you know, not just do us as if we're animals, you know, lock us away. He explained that he was arrested for false imprisonment and financial credit card fraud. He pled guilty and was sentenced to a year in prison after his lawyer told him he could have faced up to a decade. I'm like, oh my God, I have kids out here. So I'm trying to do the best option I can to be back in society. Going through that process, it hardened me to a point. You know, like, hey, you know, I have to have my guard up because the world is cruel, you know. It took me through seeing things, different things, and you know, in the system, you know, it just makes you harden to a point. And then he talks about, you know, not being able to get a job. He talks about it being heartbreaking. And then he says, they're not funding us, you know. They're not saying, hey, let's give him a check. Maybe some type of help towards him getting himself back together. It's just a lot of pressure, you know, with, you know, just having all of that on your shoulders and your back. Some people, they just can't deal with it. You know, some people say, you know, they're considering suicide. So when you look at these situations, right, so what happened that night in that parking lot? He snaps because of why? What happened in the parking lot? No, not my opinion. He has a lot more going on inside of him than that parking lot. He sees jail, maybe prison, right? That's why he does what he does. And so, I mean, I draw a similar, you know, comparison to, you know, veterans who again, in my experience, there's other things. And I mean, you can listen to the interviews on this show, and they're candid, they talk about it. You know, I was beaten by my father, and I had low self-esteem, or I struggled, or I had anger issues. You know, we had drinking in my issues in my family. I was probably a problem drinker before I joined the, you know, Marine Corps. I go to Vietnam, I come back, and I just resume what I was doing. So anyway, you know, is that a fancy way to say pre-existing conditions? So what are we going to do about it? Well, so we've seen, and so the question is, why? Now, here's the other thing I've learned. And you can correlate the two statistics, but, and hold on, let me read you the slide from post-traumatic winning, because I was going through the presentation last night as I was writing. I finished the first draft of post-traumatic winning, the book, and essentially dictating it. So now I've got to go back and do the harder work of repairing and writing. But let me give you a blurb. The headline, this is from the Journal of American Medicine, right? This is from 2014. Headline, traumatic childhood events more common among military volunteers. People who serve in the military tend to have experienced more traumatic childhood events, such as being abused or living with an alcohol-dependent parent, than people who are not veterans, according to a new study. In particular, men who volunteered for the military were more than twice as likely as men without military experience to report at least one adverse event in childhood, which supports the theory that people may use the military to escape from dysfunctional home lives, researchers write in Journal of American Medicine Psychiatry. Pretty interesting, eh? So, people who join the military, twice as likely to have traumatic events in their life. I didn't know that. It might have changed where I led people, sadly. So think about that. So the military is a home to misfit children looking for a way out. I got to get the hell out of here. But they already have infrastructure damage. They've grown up in that environment. And then oddly enough, they're twice as likely to commit suicide. Correlation there? I don't know. You tell me. Now, the total number of suicides differs by age group, right? So when you break down veteran suicide, what do you think the numbers are? And we'll use the dividing line of 49 years old. Okay? So, I'm going to give you about 5 seconds. What percentage do you think is under 49, and what percentage do you think is over 49? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Time's up. Okay, now that you've written that down, here's the answer. 31% of suicides reside below the age of 49. 69%, so we'll round, 70% and 30%. 70% of veteran suicide is north of 50. Now, I will tell you that shocks people. That shocks people, because when the majority of what gets headlines in the country are what? Young veterans. But the majority of veteran suicide is north of 50 years old. All right. So yesterday, the president unveils his plan the plan is 60 pages in length that has 10 recommendations. Okay, number one, national public service announcements. Okay, and this is all led by the mother of a Marine, Karen Pence. The plan focuses on improved research into veteran suicide. So we're going to study it more. Got it. Increased suicide prevention training and new partnerships between government agencies and outside organizations. I wonder if that's post-traumatic winning. Should be, but probably not. It includes legislative proposals that would establish a federal grant program to fund state and local groups to help veterans. Okay, so we're going to throw more money at state and local groups that are going to help us. I'm struggling to see, right? I'm struggling to see what's different. More research, interagency coordination, and public education. Call me underwhelmed. Call me underwhelmed. So, I can go down the 10 recommendations, and I will, just because we're here doing this. One, create and implement a national public health campaign focused on suicide prevention for veterans and all Americans. How about this? How about educate veterans with the concepts in post-traumatic winning and then challenge them to go save the rest of the country? How about that? I can tell you that it works. Number two, identify and prioritize suicide surveillance and research that focuses on veterans' unique combination of individual, relationship, community, and societal factors to deliver the most effective interventions tailored to meet their needs and circumstances. Okay, more research. But again, it doesn't, you know, so what's, where's the veteran, what, how is that different than any, you know, the suicide problem in the rest of the country? I don't see it. Number three, promote foundational changes in the way research is conducted, including improving the speed and accuracy with which research is translated into practice, improving efficiency through data sharing, blah, blah, fucking blah. Number three, right? Okay, got it. Someday, somewhere, maybe that has a contribution. Number four, develop effective partnerships across government agencies and non-government entities and organizations to increase capacity. Why has that not been done? Why are we announcing that? Why is that like a deal? Number four, boilerplate. Number five, encourage employers and academic institutions to provide and integrate comprehensive mental health and wellness practices and policies into their culture and systems. Not a bad idea, right? So we're going to tell everybody to get after this. Mental health is a thing. Got it? Kind of boilerplate-ish to me. Number six, to provide and promote comprehensive suicide prevention trainings across professions. Okay. I guess I need more details on that. Number seven, identify, evaluate, and promote community-based models that are effectively implementing evidence-informed mental health and suicide prevention programs across the country. I've got one. Number seven, bing, 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 bing. Okay. Number eight, increase implementation of programs focused on lethal means safety. For example, voluntary reduction of access to lethal means by individuals in a crisis, free, inexpensive, easy, safe storage options. So what does that mean? I lock my gun up for myself and somehow or other I can't have access to it when I'm in distress because there's some kind of like tag on it that, you know, I've got to press my thumb against and it senses my biorhythms and says, oh shit, Max got his head up his ass. Don't let him unlock his pistol. Does that exist? Well, if it does, okay. Will many people do it? Probably not. Will other family members maybe do it for them? Maybe. So certainly worth investigating. Number 8, increase implementation of programs focused on lethal means safety. I just read that. Number 9, I forgot where I was. Number 9, develop a coordinated interagency funding mechanism to support, provide resources for and facilitate the implementation of successful evidence-informed mental health and suicide prevention. That's the one I like. Number 10, actually, so 7 and 9 I'm down with. Number 10, streamline access to innovative suicide prevention programs and interventions by expanding the network of qualified healthcare providers. I just have to tell you that I don't think the problems that veterans have are a whole lot different than the problems that anybody else has. You know, I think, you know, when you connect what I've learned in post-traumatic winning with the statistics, what you see is there's an at-risk part of our population that comes already damaged, that gravitates to the military and looking for a way out of a bad situation. And what's interesting in my experiences, my oldest son was stationed in Quantico, worked out at the basic school. And so I was in Quantico staying with him, and I'd hang out with he he lived on a cul-de-sac. I'm watching that video of Mr. Brooks, and it looks different to me now. What's going through his head? He's going back to jail? He's not having that. So anyway, I digress. But I hang out with my kids' friends, the Marines, and there's foreign military officers that live near him. A guy, I think he was Danish. And then other captains. So I go to give the presentation at the Expeditionary Warfighting School, and one of his neighbors is going to. And so afterwards, his neighbor comes up to me, and he said, "You know, I heard you were I know you've been back here a few times doing this." And, you know, John told me what you were doing. I just thought it was another bullshit program. And he said, "This is the best thing I've ever seen." And he said what a lot of people have said to me. It felt like you were talking to me the whole time. He said, "You know, I grew up and I used to get the shit beat out of me all the time by my dad. And I couldn't wait to get the fuck out of my house." Now, mind you, this guy's in his early 30s. So it's not like he's old school, an old person like me. He's a young dude. And so he said, "I just want to thank you for what I learned today." And he said, "I hope you don't mind if I come by." You know, he asked me when I was leaving. I said, "Well, I fly out, you know, Saturday morning." And he said, "I hope you don't mind if I come by and shoot the shit." And I said, "No." And he just grabbed my hand and he said, "Thank you. Thank you." And so, you know, the key, and again, I think those are the two important statistics. Why is veteran suicide, you know, higher? Well, they come damaged. And then a lot of times we lay more shit on top of that. Question, why is the suicide number higher in older people? Well, I would tell you my experience with Vietnam veterans is, you retire and you have time to think about it and you've never dealt with it. And now you don't have kids in the house, you don't have a job to go to, and you have more and more time to dwell on it. And if you add that to maybe other things that go wrong in somebody's life, maybe financial difficulty, maybe alcohol abuse, and it gets worse, you could see the path they go down. That's why, to me, the post-traumatic winning path is so important. First of all, it's anchored in the truth. It is the product of now 4 years of interviews. and the footnotes that go with them. So it tells you the truth. It says this is the path that you can walk if you want to, right? If you'll understand that you got to coexist, if you'll understand that you got to live with some self-discipline, and you understand the key to living a great life is giving. That's the key. It's helping others. And we need you to help other people, because there's a lot of people that need help that are groping in the dark, because so much of mental health, in my opinion, is straight up bullshit. All right. We'll numb you to the symptoms. You can come and talk about it. How do you talk seeing somebody decapitated to a good place? Somebody tell me that. Where are the words? What is somebody going to say to you? And the answer is, it doesn't. So then I go there with the expectation is that this is going to make me feel different. And it doesn't. I feel the same. And then I stop going, which is 100% of the time. Then I stop going. I might go for a year. I may go for two. Then I stop. And then where am I? So to me, what's the silver? Is there a silver lining? Is there a better place that I can go to? Not when you go down the path of endurance, and that's where most of this shit takes you. So I have to say that, you know, underwhelmed by what the president announced, by his bold plan, and then knowing that it's going to be implemented by the Veterans Administration. Yeah. Good luck with all of that. Okay. So hopefully, I just hope because of number 7 and 9 in that list, okay, number 7, identify, evaluate, and promote community-based models that are effectively implementing evidence-informed mental health and suicide prevention programs. Post-traumatic winning is evidence-informed, man. It's based on historical interviews, and it has data that goes with it. So maybe. In doing so, they should leverage relationships with community-based efforts. And then number 9, develop a coordinated interagency federal funding mechanism to support, provide resources for, and facilitate the implementation of successful evidence-based informed mental health and suicide prevention programs. Kaboom! So maybe someday. So keep my fingers crossed. But I just don't see the right things being talked about. I don't see the right dots being connected. And let me tell you, it's a hard issue. I got it. It's a hard issue. So anyway, good morning to you on a Thursday morning. The Jeff Kenny and Will Cosentini are going to join me in something we recorded last night. Will drove to New York for Father's Day because he's a good son. And so we had to record it last night because he has something going on today. And then Tim Lynch missed it. Yeah. For whatever reason, right? I send out text messages individual, right? Okay. Will, 2000 Eastern time. Tim, 1900 Central time. Jeff, it's 1700 for you and me. Everybody got it? Roger, 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 Roger. Lynch doesn't show up. So he's not a part of it this week. So there's the three of us. And I'll tell you what we talk about. Number 1, China versus India. Crowbar fighting and people getting thrown off cliffs. Like, what the fuck? So, and what's the impact of that? And why is China going down that road? It's kind of the same thing we, talk to Grant Newsham about. We'll get their thoughts on that. 2, is reducing forces in Germany a big deal? I think if you listen to the program, I'm anti-Germany, man. I am not a fan. 3, military justice numbers. Just their experience relative to race and military justice in the Marine Corps. So we talk about our own personal experiences. 4, our divided nation. where is all of this going, right? Where is all of this going? And so, again, my own opinion is you have simply the approach to these issues is as divided as the last election was. And where is that divide? It is democratically controlled major urban centers around the country. And then there's the rest of the country. And there's two views. And I would dare say that the article that I just read excerpts of in the New York Post relative to Mr. Brooks betrays that. People that live in inner cities are looking for somebody else to provide for them. He was looking for a government program to give him money, and he says that in the interview, you know, help, right? He's looking for somebody, a mentor, that supervises him every day. Later on in the interview, he says that. You know, not a probation officer, but somebody to mentor me on a daily basis. So he's a grown man in his 20s. Now, I would tell you that everybody, not everybody, but, you know, a large percentage of the population that doesn't live in big city America doesn't view the world like that. If you make a mistake, it's on you to unfuck it. You've got to go get a job or two to provide. And yeah, if you've done time in prison, there's certain industries that will employ you and a large portion of others that will not. So, yeah. So to me, the approach to this problem also breaks down along those lines. Everybody's seen what's happened in Seattle. You know, we've seen, you know, the mayor of Los Angeles say that he's going to redirect funds from the LA Police Department to community groups. And we'll see where that goes. Right? You've seen, you know, the police commissioner of New York City on TV yesterday said we're going in a different direction relative to policing. So where does this all go? Right? Where do these liberal experiments go in big cities? Do they go down the path of other liberal experiments where the poorest people in our major urban cities pay the price for this? You know, the question is, why would they not turn out the same? Has something changed in human nature? So anyway, we'll get their thoughts on that. So don't touch that dial. Jobless claims are out. They're down again for the 11th week, but a big deal in the stock market and things like that is where does the number come in relative to what's been heard on the street, if you will. Heard on the street is a column in the Wall Street Journal. Anyway, the consensus was the number would be lower. So the number comes in higher at 1.5 million new. So, again, the 11th straight week where they decline, but not at the rate that people thought they would. So, anyhow, good morning to you on this Thursday morning. The United States Marine Corps ban makes it official. this is dedicated to people I'm working on. One of them's at the VA. Let's get on this shit. Let's get on this shit. Let's get on this shit. Because we can make a difference. So this is dedicated to them.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
When the danger is perceptible and the cost of acting are low, the failure to act guarantees that the threat will grow and the ultimate cost will be higher. Every day that goes by makes North Korea a more dangerous country. You don't like their behavior today? What do you think it'll be when they have nuclear weapons that can be delivered to American cities? Do you want to wait till then to act, or do you want to act now?
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You gotta win.
Let me read you an email. Interesting little tidbit this morning, Mac. I found the item from the Journal of American Medicine psychiatry pretty interesting. I did not know that either. It makes a lot of sense. Damaged in your youth, living your life, it not going well, and all of that, comma, the cumulative effect at some point colliding and impacting. Interesting. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I saw that. I thought it was pretty stunning. To the weather we go. Currently, it in Quantico, it is partly sunny and 77. Down the coast at Camp Lejeune, it is partly sunny and 77. Yeah, same exact temperature. In 29 Palms, it is partly sunny and 77. Whoa. No, it's not. I'm just kidding. It's sunny and 82 in 29 Palms. Camp Pendleton, cloudy and 63. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy and 73 as the sun comes up. Okinawa, dark cloudy, 83. So pretty standard stuff there. In South Central Afghanistan, clear dark at 95. And then in Iraq, in Western Iraq, it is sunny and 102 late in the day. Currently, at the home of All Marine Radio, where temperatures have been mild, it is cloudy and 62. Looking for a high of 71 today. Looking for a high of 71 tomorrow, 71 on Saturday, and 74 on Sunday. Yeah, we don't hit 80 until a week from Saturday. Yeah, so beautiful weather. Beautiful time to come to Southern California. If you want to experience the California dream, feel free. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. I've got a couple more emails to read. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara. And you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I was a fighter, I could turn on the thread. Now I stand accused of
All right, to the news we go. Let me just give you factors, right? Factors in veteran suicide. And this is for younger veterans, right, that get out, go to school. One, difficulty in relating to fellow students. Difficulty in coping with military experiences in an academic environment, because we know how much academia loves military, right? Lack of support or understanding for service-connected disabilities. Well, when they don't like you and they don't really want to talk to you, the negative stigma related to military service. Oh, you're one of those losers. Now, those are just related to the education piece. This is the rest are relating to veterans in general. Okay? Feelings of isolation. Right? And again, think of Vietnam veterans when you think of these things. Right? They were closet veterans. They just didn't talk about it. Okay? So, feeling of isolation, feeling of separation, lack of social support, difficulty with stable or reliable income. So, if you go down that road, right? If you're not financially solid, if you don't save your money, and you have all the rest of that junk in your trunk, and you have stuff in your younger life, right, that wasn't very pleasant, you can see the cumulative effect of all of this. Difficulty with stable housing. So anyway, you can see some of the factors that go into this. But I think that I think the key thing to understand is, with many of the people that I've met, right, they have other things in their life that create infrastructure damage when they're young. And they go looking for a better life. And they go to the military because they believe that they're going to find leaders. Some find them. Some do not. And it goes from there. And then they leave. And then they're trying to find their way, and they don't. So, anyway. Top story in Stars and Stripes is Pentagon stop movement order creates financial burden for some families. Really? Is that the top story? Like, so let me get this straight. Your wife works, you've obviously got a job, and somehow the stop loss thing, you know, give me a break. Is government your nanny? I don't know. Do I sound callous today? I'm trying not to. Special Operations Marine dies during airborne training at Fort Benning. His identity has not been released. The critical skills operator was assigned to Marine Raider Training Center as part of the Army's basic airborne course. Marine Special Forces Special Operations Command said in a statement on Wednesday. More details would be forthcoming after the family notification was completed. This is basic airborne course, right? It's a 3-week course at Fort Benning, and they run, you know, this was the 24th course this year. So what week are we in? There's 52 weeks in a year, so it's almost like a course starts every week, right? And when they graduate, they earn their silver jump wings. They've got to complete 5 static line parachute jumps from a C-130 or a C-17. At an altitude of over 1,200 feet. And again, the static line jump is the one, you know, the United States Army did over Normandy, right? I call it stand up, buckle up, shuffle to the door, that one. So, anyway. So, that in the news today. Russian planes are now flying for a Libyan warlord. U.S. Africa Command said yesterday. Russia sent at least 14 MiG-29 fighter planes to Libya to prop up the forces of Khalifa Haftar, who has waged a year-long fight against the country's Western-supported government. Those aircraft are flying out of the Al Jufra air base in central Libya and operating near the coastal city of Sirte, according to AFRICOM, which released photos of the MiG-29s in flight. Quote, this is from Brigadier General Bradford Gehring. He's the AFRICOM Director of Operations, so he's the OPSO there. There is concern these Russian aircraft are being flown by inexperienced non-state mercenaries who will not adhere to international law. Namely, they are not bound by the traditional laws of armed conflict, he said in a statement. If this is true and bombings occur, innocent Libyan lives are at risk. So, Russia, again, you know, denying that these are Russian aircraft. Amazing. Another story. You hear Grant Newsham talk about this, but this is actually being written about in Stars and Stripes. China sends vessels into Japanese waters near the Senkaku Islands a record 66 days in a row. Now, what's interesting, again, China seems to be, I don't know if this is a communist play out of the communist playbook. When shit's going wrong, right, you might as well poke everybody in the eye. You might as well do your dirty work then and get it all out of the way. And when the dust settles, you'll be in a different spot. Anyway, China set a new record Thursday for the number of consecutive days, 66. Its government vessels have been spotted in waters near the Japan-controlled Senkaku Islands in the East China Sea. In the latest sighting, four Japanese Coast Guard vessels appeared around 9 a.m. about 18 miles north-northwest of Yutsuri Island inside Japanese contiguous zone. They were heading southwest, according for a spokesman for the Japanese 11th Regional Coast Guard Headquarters. Chinese vessels have been spotted in Japan's contiguous waters every day since April 14th. So anyway, it's just a reminder. And again, you know, at some point, what China did in the South China Sea is coming to the East China Sea. And if the Japanese don't believe that, they're stupid. So anyway, so but it's rare that you see it actually being written about. Next story in Stars and Stripes is Marines send RQ-21 Blackjack drones to Australia. Now, what's an RQ-21 drone? It's known as the Blackjack, obviously, right? It doesn't carry ordnance. It's slung off a catapult, and it's got a camera on it, obviously, and flies around. So Marine Corps is really, really done poorly in the realm of unmanned aerial platforms. You know, got to operate off an amphibious platform. You know, all these things that make it really expensive, make it really unique, and make the cost really high for the Marine Corps, as opposed to saying, "Hey, let's just lease RQ-9 Reapers," which, you know, would have saved years and years from our F-18 fleet. As we drove them into the ground doing, you know, manned ISR. And all the things that the RQ-9 Reaper, you know, honestly, was just as good at, sometimes better at. And when I say better, it's always nice to have a pilot up there who can, you know, who's looking at it. But when you're talking, one of the most significant components of ISR, right, armed ISR too, which is so you can have a shooter up there, is how long can you hang out? That was the chief benefit of converting C-130s in the ghetto-ass configuration that we did into what we used to call Harvest Hawk. And they were up there with a pod of, 30 Hellfire missiles or something like that. But they were up for 8 hours. Yeah, they're up for 8 hours. I mean, that helps. And so, anyway, Marine Corps sending the Blackjack drone. And, you know, we've had guys who've commanded the UAV squadrons come on the program, and they're extremely frustrated too. So, anyway, top story from Just the News today is ex-Trump advisor breaks silence on Russia probe, says Iran deal played a role in the false allegations. What? Who is this guy? Now that I've said that, and it's completely cryptic, let me read a little bit. For more than 2 years now, Waleed Pares, P-H-A-R-E-S, has kept a secret. The national security expert favored by many conservatives was interviewed and investigated in the Russia collusion probe, mostly for an issue related to Moscow. It was Egypt, actually. The allegations, like many in the Russia case, turned out to be false, and Pares was never charged with wrongdoing by special counsel Robert Mueller's team. Now, Pares is speaking out for the first time, suggesting that one of the motives of those who made the allegations and sustained the investigation was to hamper the early Trump presidency's foreign policy goals, including the 45th president's long-promised cancellation of the Obama-era nuclear deal. Quote, in my view, the push against the Trump campaign and then the transition and then the administration was on behalf of those who wanted to defend the Iran deal to protect the interest of the Iran deal, he told Just the News. So the plot thickens, right? The plot thickens. All right. From USNI News. Marines considering adding land-based hypersonic weapons to their arsenal. What? Yeah. Why shoot a Tomahawk when you can shoot something that goes faster? The Marine Corps is in talks with the Pentagon's research and development community over how a land-based hypersonic weapon could be incorporated into the smallest service's quick maneuver concept. Mike White, Assistant Director for Hypersonics in the Office of the Undersecretary of Defense for Research and Engineering, said today, I haven't given up on the Marines yet for incorporating hypersonic weapons into their future operational concepts. The Army and the Navy and the Air Force are moving out aggressively with hypersonic systems, but we are also talking to the Marines about possible applications of ground-launched hypersonic capabilities, he said, during the Defense One Tech Summit held online this week. Asked why the Marines would be good candidate for using hypersonics, which can be shot from greater distances and still hit their targets quickly. The Marines bring agility to the land campaign. They are an agile force. They can't... Really? They used to be an agile force. They're an agile force. They can be in certain places with a relatively small footprint relatively quickly. And so that agility and flexibility allows for a number of different advantages. So there's some conversations happening between DARPA and the Marines on, in particular, to talk about the potential transition of a land-based hypersonic capability to the Marines. So there you have it. From Marine Corps Times. Top story is a story we've talked about. And that is a Marine Raider dies in airborne training accident at Fort Benning in Georgia. Second story is Second Lady Karen Pence, a Marine mom, takes a key role in veteran suicide prevention efforts. And that's about it. Top five stories in Early Bird. And then you'll hear Jeff Kenney, Will Cosentini, and myself, Tim Lynch, UA, yesterday. Yeah, he thought it was an hour later. So he attempted to join the conversation, but I was like, sorry, man, we're ending. Anyway, top five stories. Number one, Senate's top Republican okay with removing Confederate names from bases. So they haven't updated this. So there you have it. The president, Wall Street Journal reporting, the president, so I was thinking, who's giving the president advice on Confederate on Confederate stuff? Because I think the advice sucks. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Trump, in a Wall Street Journal interview, said there is some systematic racism in the United States and said removing Confederate names from bases would further divide the country. Really? I don't think it would. Couple of emails before I get out of here. One, good morning, Mac. Hope you're having a good day. I was surprised by the numbers 70-30, over 50, under 50 was more than a bit shocking to me. It doesn't fit my mental image of younger people coming home from conflicts and taking their own lives. Very disturbing, to be honest with you. Why are so many older veterans killing themselves? Maybe you have a point. Maybe it's a cumulative effect. I could say that word. Cumulative effect of years of struggle. And they give up. Started when they were kids. They've never fully recovered. And they've had enough. Nonetheless, that number is surprising to me. Similar email right here. Are you sure those statistics are right? Yeah, I am. If you do research on veteran suicide, you'll find those numbers, and they are surprising to people because the narrative, what you would believe if you when you read, is that it's younger. And here's one more. What makes you so sure your program would work for so many? What makes me so sure? Because I've seen it in action. Now, let me just tell you, I would tell you that there's two ways of dealing with trauma and the damage that comes with traumatic experiences. One is what the VA does, which is endurance. We're going to medicate you and we're going to send you to talk about it. Okay. So, hopefully I learn when I go talk about it and I take my medications. That's endurance, in my opinion. But if you look at what that's given us, that system has given us the amount of suicide we currently have. So do you think that's a good remedy? I don't. So to me, all that post-traumatic winning is me listening to the same stories for a long period of time, 4 years now, taking those things that are common in those stories and then turning to people and say, okay, these are the things that are common in all these stories. And then coupling it with, my own personal experience of transformation, that happened courtesy of Libby in Alabama. Then learning that Viktor Frankl had written about that in Man's Search for Meaning. Then discovering that prisoners of war at the Hanoi Hilton had gone down the same path. And all of a sudden you look at it and saying, well, there's a path there for us. Why hasn't anybody told me about that path? Huh? Why do they want to medicate me and teach me endurance when they could just as easily tell me the truth and challenge me? And that resonates in me. So the reason I believe, and it also breaks down along lines of the number of people in this country that are impacted by what I called serious mental illness. Okay? So if you look at those statistics, people will tell you that 10% of the population is impacted, not military population, but everybody, is impacted by a serious mental illness. Okay, that means 90% of us are not. 90% of us are just fucking struggling. And so when you can tell people the truth, and then you challenge them to help other people, and they're not impacted by a serious mental illness, what do you think happens? The majority of them will say, oh, okay. So when I stand up at the start of post-traumatic winning and say, hey, I'm here to tell you the truth, and if you don't like it, I don't really give a fuck. That's called an attention gainer. And they all start laughing because that's not the way most of those things open. You have their attention. And now most people that come to it have heard this is good, which is interesting because they don't like to go to this shit, but they get told they have to. And then they learn something, and it's no bullshit. And then they help somebody else, and it changes their fucking life. It changes, like me, it changes the way you feel about your traumatic experiences. It doesn't make them go away, but I will tell you this, they don't hurt as much. The pain isn't as deep because you've used them, you know, as Viktor Frankl would say, you've given meaning to your suffering. And in that way, you've transformed it. And you can look at story after 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 story of people who've been down this path that transformed their life. So it starts with the truth. It ends with a challenge. Go save somebody's life now that you know the truth. First of all, embrace these concepts. Live with self-discipline. What does that mean? It means you got to talk about it. It means you're not getting over it. Live with self-discipline. It means you got to stay physically active, and that's good for your brain. It's good for your trauma. It means you got to learn how to handle your money, because one of the things that spins people, as you heard that, you know, Mr. Brooks say in his interview, right? I get out of prison and I can't support myself. I have two kids I'm supposed to support. I can't do that. Blah, blah, fucking blah. Right? So get good with money. Number three, if you're impacted by trauma, stop drinking and stop doing drugs, prescription and recreational. All that does is it untethers you. Alcohol untethers you, and then you out of control, fucking up your family and friends. Till they say, go the fuck away, man. We cannot take it anymore. You punished us enough. So, and that's just the truth. And they know it too. And they know it. Now, I've had some that look at me and say, you know, I know they'd say this, like, hey, fuck you, old dude. I'm not going to stop drinking. Oh, that's fine. I got it. But guess what? The seed is planted. The rock is in their shoe. And as they have experience after experience, and I got an email from a pilot not too long ago who said he watched post-traumatic winning half drunk. And he hasn't drank since, which is awesome. Okay, so how do I know it's work? I just seen the power of it. And the most recent example is, you know, from a woman who had seen it, who lost her husband. They're both in their 40s. And 8 days after she loses her husband, she sends me an email. Can I talk to you? I've been talked to by a lot of different people, but the thing I have in my head are the things that you said in your presentation that I saw 2 months ago. Mother of five. So that's how I know. The evidence is overwhelming, too powerful. So, and again, it's not. Let me tell you, I have people that call me to add and want me to advocate for a certain therapy, and I tell them I won't do that, and they get upset with me. You know, it's this light therapy, or it's this shot in the neck, or it's something else. And and I tell them, hey, look, I'm not a doctor. That's not what I do. And then they want to tell me like the progress they made on it. And I said, you know, I'm happy for you, but I'm not going to be an advocate for a therapy. First of all, I'm not a doctor. Okay. And so what I say is, relative to therapies, you have to go there with a physician. And if those things are appropriate, then they're appropriate. But the most important thing isn't the therapy. It's your relationship with the doctor, somebody you trust, right? Somebody who will tell you the truth, somebody who you feel comfortable telling the truth to, whether you like it or don't like it. And that's what's important. The specific therapy, I'm not an advocate for any of them. And honestly, I'm really not an advocate for letting the VA fuck with your brain. I'm sorry. No, they don't have a great track record. Now, and there's going to be some people that swear by it, and that's great. You got to find that. And so what I do, right, is project. So if you have a serious mental illness, post-traumatic winning can't help you. Post-traumatic winning can't help you till you get that serious mental illness under control. And then post-traumatic winning can help you. But as long as you're in a position where you have a serious mental illness, you can't get to the understanding piece. You can't get to helping others piece because you're in the business of helping yourself. Right? So, anyway. I had somebody who like is pissed at me and says, you know, I wish you would really seriously consider. And I said, man, it's not what I do. How many times do I have to say this? You don't have to offer me more evidence about what it did for you. I got it. I don't recommend specific therapies for people. I'm not a doctor. I don't play that game. And not pleased with me, not pleased with me. So again, I keep my fingers crossed. I will tell you, while post-traumatic winning has not made great inroads into the Marine Corps for reasons that I don't rightly understand, it has made inroads into the other services, who are much more open to it and much more enthusiastic about it. So it will go where it goes, but it'll go someplace. I know that. Because it's just too powerful, and it's right, and again, what's interesting is it doesn't matter if you're a young person, doesn't matter if you're an old person, you know, it resonates deeply with people, and they don't get over it. So keep my fingers crossed that maybe something good will come out of the president's initiative, you know, and maybe in some way, shape, or form, there's funding for a broader platform for post-traumatic winning. And in that way, we can save more people. So we'll take a break. When we come back, Will Cosentini joins me from New York. Jeff Kenny joins me from San Clemente. And we will do Lynch, Kenny, Will without Lynch. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.